Ready, ready. Nashtu preshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyutama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtaki Narayanam namaskritya Naram cheva narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tuto Jayam Mudiraye Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Visa Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha Puranarko Dunoditaha Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkaramyam avishkritam Tachchinvan supatan vicharana Puro bhaktya vimuchyen naraha Shlokam ekam tadardamva Paramparadameva Sharavanyo nushrinivat punatyatmanameva saha Sarvavedantasaram hi shri bhagavatam mishyate Tadrasamrita chiptasya nanyatra sadrati kuchit Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Pratyakshare Nana Artakai Hari Madhyayante Bhagavate Kai Vishnu Bhakti Nitya Sira Akshaya Avyaya Premamaya Bhagavata Krishnera Shriyanga Tahate Kahena Jata Gopya Krishneranga Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana ragana tanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam Krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna paran Sahagana lalita shri vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Dishatarane Radha Samukha Samsak Shaktim Saki Sangha Nivasinim Tamaham Satatam Vande Guru Rupam Param Sakim Yankali Rupa Shariranatarata Tan Braja Prema Mahanidhi Kutarika Kon Kapatu Gharata Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath He Chai Gosair Kori Charana Vandana Jahoite Bignanasha Bishta Puran Vancha Kopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Imabha Divyascha Visundaraya Tasme Maha Primarasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Balavi Varanam Bhoja Malane Nirtishalane Nama Pranatapalaya Sri Krishnaya Namo Namaha Sriman Rasarasarambi Vamshi Vatatatastita Karshan Venusvaner Gopir Gopinata Shriestunaha Mahabhava Sarupatvam Krishna Priya Variyasi Prema Bhakti Prade Devi Radhiketam Namam Yaham Vajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madurasmitasyam Vadami Radham Karanabharadram Tato Mamanyasti Gatirnakapi Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Rasa Panchadaya, Raslila, Avrara and Krishna in Vrindavan, Chapter 29, verse number 10, Dasama Skanda. Dusaha Prishtaviraha, Tidra Tap, Duta Shubha. Dhyana Pratyachuta Shlisha, Nivrit. Shinamangala. And this verse 10 in the translation, there's the two sides of the river of love in one verse. The river of love, one embankment is separation, anguish, distress, unhappiness. Least apparently so. On the other half, the joy, the happiness, the fulfillment and satisfaction of meeting the beloved and enjoying intimacy, loving embrace in one verse. Dusaha Prishtaviraha. We discuss this first line. This is the negative side, separation. But Krishna is all good, everything's positive. So even separation is union, and union is separation. Because union gives a flavor of love, intensity, and separation gives a flavor of love, intensity. Intolerable separation. I couldn't tolerate it. So separation is a certain flavor and bliss and transcendental madhurya prema. Creates madness, unmad, exhilaration beyond compare. But it's also intolerable. Because the goal is actually both. The goal is separation, the goal is union. But of the two praptis or labdhas, attainments, union is always preferred. And Rupa Goswami explains this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Kaishara Safala, Kaishara Safala. He says the fruit of Krishna's youth was perfected by enjoying with the gopis in the bushes of Vrindavan. Kaishara Safala Nikunja Krida. Enjoying with them. So this is the prayojan. So this is first verse. We discussed that. Then the second line is Tivra Tapa Duta Shubha. So there's a cause and relationship here, a cause and effect here. There's intolerable separation. They're burning. The gopis are burning. Separation from their beloved Krishna. The sadness of the gopis. And how did they respond to that separation? It was intolerable. We can't tolerate it. We'll just sit down and feel that it's intolerable. No, they burned. Tivra tap dutashiva. Intense. Tivra. Tivra means intense. That description of bhakti is there. Tivrena bhakti yogina. What's that full verse? Do you know that verse? Yeah, those that Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, that if you want Krishna to give you material things, or if you just want Krishna's love, or you want liberation from Krishna, whatever you want from Krishna, you have to be intense about it. Even if you want material things, Sarva kama, akama is in second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama, sarva kama, moksha kama, udharidi, tivrena bhakti yogena, purusham param, something like this. Yajata. You have to be intense, tivra, intense about your bhakti to get your liberation or your ashta siddhis. You have to be intense about your bhakti to get your material desires fulfilled, sense gratification, indriya sukha. Or if you simply want to love Krishna and have his eternal loving association and service, you have to be intense. Because without the touch of bhakti, no one is successful in any path, be it karma, yoga, or bhakti. Bhakti must be there. Bhakti means gaining the pleasure of the Absolute. This is the meaning of bhakti. Gaining the pleasure of the Absolute Truth. So the yogis, they can endeavor, the karmis can endeavor, the bhaktas can endeavor, but without somehow touching bhakti, which pleases him, and gaining his pleasure, he will not grant his favor and fulfill your desired aspiration, be it karma, jnana, or bhakti. So this word is here related to the sadhana siddha gopis. Tivrena tap, intense burning pain. They couldn't tolerate separation from Krishna. That was the cause and the effect of that separation. They were burning intensely. Generally, we find in Krishna Leela, if some lover of Krishna is separated from Krishna, they're burning in separation, as we mentioned. In Apran Leela, when Srimati returns to Yavat or Barsana, after the Surya Puja at Surya Kund, where she had enlisted Vishra Sharma, Krishna disguised as a Brahmin, to do the puja to Suryadeva in the presence of Kutila and Jatila. When she returned home, she was Tivrena Tap, burning in separation from Krishna. And the gopis were frantic. What to do with her Swamini, our Ishwari? She's roasting alive. She's perspiring intensely. She's delirious. Her head is wheeling. She's trembling. Her throat is choked up. She's saying, oh, Sham, Sham. So much burning and separation. Viraha Agni. Viraha. I'm not living up with my beloved. Raha. So they try to pacify Radharani in so many ways to bring her to some state of normalcy or peace of mind and body. First of all, lie down. When a person is wheeling and trembling, lie down, relax. Lying down means relaxing. And then must lie her down on a cooling bed, because not usually people have a fever or they're hot. They say, oh, my head is very hot, I have a fever. They put ice pack on their forehead or somehow cool the computer down. But when there's intense cases of burning, when there's someone burns in a house fire from head to toe, they put the whole body in ice, or the whole body is treated for the heat. So Radharani's whole body from head to toe is burning, and tivra tap in her Krishna viraha. It says, Preshta viraha tivra tap. Preshta viraha tivra tap. Krishna preshta. This is sadhana siddha gopis, called by Krishna for the rasa dance, blocked by their husbands due to a lack of purva rag and sarasanga, and some material influence in their hearts. They could not get out on the first night. But this phrase, preshta viraha tivra tap, also applies to Srimati Radharani. And you can read in Sankalpa Kalpa Druma and so many places by Vishwanath and Rupa and Raghunath and Krishna's Kaviraj, how Radharani is suffering in separation. Her whole body needs to be treated, not only her mind and her heart, but her feverish head and her feverish arms and legs. They lie Radharani on a bed of lotus petals or rose petals. Roses are very cooling. When you smell roses or you've touched them to your eyes, if your eyes are burning in the summer, and you take the Mahaprasad garland from Shamsundar Govindaji and touch to your eyes, and your eyes become very cool and refreshed, and you smell the fragrance, and your mind becomes somewhat pacified by that gulab ganda, Suganda. It's Tanda Ganda, cooling fragrance. So the rose, they're all rose petals. And then when they lay Radharani's beautiful divine form on those bed of rose petals, queen bed, you have these beds they call queen size mattress, king size. So she's Vrindavaneshwari, so the original queen bed was Radharani. So it's 7 feet long and 6 feet wide, all the rose petals. And it has a spring mattress also, like an old-fashioned beds, which were really good beds. There was a box spring on the bottom, all actual springs, no spring. And then the mattress was put on top, and that's a real bed. Now they put a piece of foam and a piece of wood and say, here's a bed, right? Piece of foam and throw it on a piece of wood, here's a, it's not a real bed. Bekar bed. You know, the original bed. So what are the springs in Radharani's flower bed? The stems of lotuses. See our lotuses. The stems are like rubber. They're like this. And then they weave them, they intertwine them together. Mandris make these beds. Like they intertwine the stems together. They make a very strong network. Like a crisscross, you know, crisscross. This, you know, have all these straight stems, then you go like this and like that. And there, that's about 1 feet thick. And about 2 feet or 3 feet of rose petals. And then Radharani lies in that, it's like the ultimate water bed or the ultimate memory mattress to remember Krishna. That's the memory mattress. So it's very comfortable. But as soon as Radharani lies in that wonderfully luxurious flower bed, you read this term all the time, flower bed. Radharani entered Nikunja and sat on the edge of the flower bed. And she was shy and she's looking to the side. All these beautiful scenes are there to be meditated on and ultimately served in Siddhadeya. When the Manjris and Sakis lie Radharani's beautiful form there, then all the petals dry out. Not only dry out, start steaming. They start. Then they say, this is not working. Let us put chandan. So there's two types of chandan. There's winter chandan and summer chandan. So winter chandan is chandan mixed with keshar. Keshar means saffron. It's a chandan, it's hot, cool. Fire and ice. It's cooling and it's heating. Dual function. It's cooling because the fragrance cools the brain, but the chandan does not cool the forehead because it has keshar in it. So then that's winter season chandan. Chandan is there, it's cooling, but the fragrance is coming, but the saffron inside creates some heat so the forehead doesn't become chilled because it's already winter. Then there's summer chandan, Grishma Maina chandan. And that chandan is mixed with what? Camphor, kapoor. And that's that same cooling fragrance of sandalwood, chandan. But then because of the presence of camphor or kapoor mixed with it, becomes even more cooling. So even the skin and the whole forehead becomes very cool. When you put that on the on in the winter, you'll get a cold. You'll get sick. Cool fragrance, nice, but then so they put this, no matter what the season is, they put kapoor chandan on Radharani's forehead. Or forehead or arms or breasts. And then within a few seconds it just becomes dry mud cakes. Like in a scorching summer, if it somehow there's a summer rainfall, a little bit of rain, a little mud puddles, a little mud collected here and there in the dirt. Then by midday it's all dried out and cracked. When I was young, I grew up on the farm. We used to walk on our roadway to the house, this long road, and it was dirt. And that would happen. Then the mud, and they make looks like these oil cakes. And after they grind mustard oil, they get all these little green cakes, which they mix in with cow feed here in India. And they grind mustard oil. They grind the seeds of mustard. Then they get oil from the grinder. Then they expel. The expellent is called oil cakes. It's little dry green things, little squares. Maybe you've seen. They feed the cows here. Get some oil and some protein, whatnot. So the mud puddle, all the mud becomes dried up like that. And when we were children, we used to go and step on it, like, and it would crack, you know, because they're pieces of mud. It's like popping a plastic bag in the modern ages. Your generation is the plastic generation. But when I grew up, there wasn't any plastic. When I was young, there was paper bags and cardboard. There wasn't plastic until I was, I don't know, 10 or 15 or whatever it was. So we don't know that, you know. You know, this is the modern fun, but we would crack mud cakes and go ice skating, and then the ice get, you know, we'd crack, you know, just like this. So Radharani's chandan was just drying up like that. And they're fanning her. They would take banana leaves, and then they would dip them in Jamuna gel. And the Jamuna gel was flavored, was even more cooled by having camphor inside. Then it was put on the roof at night under the full moon. So it's called camphorated pani, karpurka pani, camphorated water, which was exposed to the moonshine, kept in a clay pot, mudka, black clay from Rajasthan, which is very cooling. Then they would stick either the lotus petals or they stick the banana leaves in there, lotus leaves. And with that water on the leaf, they would fan Radharani when she was tivratap, burning in the fire. Preshta viraha tivratap, burning in the fire of separation from her preshta, her dearly beloved one. Then these leaves would just dry up and become crackly. Like you see a dry leaf, it just cracks like this into dust. This gives you some idea of the intensity of Radharani's in her viraha, in her prema, and that Vipralamba prema of Radharani. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda viraha. Govinda viraha. This is the other half of union. These are the sadhana siddha gopis. Tivra tap duta ashubha. Duta ashubha. Duta means to destroy. Ashub means inauspicious things in their heart. So the Shukadeva Goswami is hiding in this verse 10 and 11 an external meaning for the materialistic observer of the Bhagavatam, and an internal meaning for the Rasika Bhavuvaka. Dharma prochita kaitavo cha paramo nirmatsaranam satam. This amalam jnanam, this pranam, this Bhagavat prana is amala jnana. It throws out all cheating, all materialistic people. Although they speak on it, the Arya Samaji people, Mayavadis, they all speak on the Bhagavatam, they often give classes. And they will give the external meaning of the verses because they are not Rasika Bhavuvaka. And they're not real Paramahamsas. All this cheating religion, this is all cheating. Anything less than Prem Dharma is cheating. That's the original dharma of the jiva. Jiva dharma is prem dharma. So mayavad and karmic viewpoints and concoctions are just mixtures and contaminations. They're mal. It's not the amalam jnanam, it's the mal jnan. It's a contaminated knowledge. So the rasikas, that verse is there, that this they can understand, the rasik, those that are in Bhavukas, they're in bhav, and they can relish the internal meaning of the verses. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he points out that one can take the external meaning or the internal meaning. So the external meaning is that dusaha preshta viraha, intolerable separation, viraha, from the Mukunda preshta, Krishna preshta. That was the cause, because they were separated from him and not allowed to get out for the rasa dance. And their response and effect of that cause, or result, cause and effect, action and reaction. Tivra tapa duta ashubha. That intense burning fire, oh, we can't get out. They're just burning with in so much intensity to meet Krishna. And that fire of, it's a repentance, and it's not repentance per se, that's also a type of akrita gyan, or what, akrita gyan, I think. But they're just burning in the separation. That fire, like fire, if you take some seeds and you put them in on a iron plate and put on the fire, then the seeds will be roasted and they won't spring to life. Life power will leave those seeds, because unfavorable condition to live there. So the seeds will become useless. So it's the external meaning is they're ashubha. Any, their negative karmas, acharyas say that, their karmas were destroyed. Ashubha means inauspicious. That means our bad karma. Because it's inauspicious to get disease, it's suffering. Suffering is inauspicious, happiness is auspicious. Suffering is undesirable, happiness is desirable. Auspicious things, shubh karma or shubh activities, we want those. But karma, our life is a mixture of good and bad, good reactions and bad reactions. But then that, so because the two verses together, 10 and 11, they burned up their inauspicious things by burning from remembering Krishna and burning in his separations. So that's a surefire way to burn up all one's bad karma. But that happens at the level of anartanivrti in Bhajana Kriya, Vishnu says. Because he presents the external idea, which is very commonly presented by many commentators. He says, but how can we accept this? Because it, at Bhajana Kriya, Dhananartha Nivrti, this Kleshagni Shubhada, Kleshagni and Shubhada, the pure devotional service, the level of sarana and bhava and prema, everything has six characteristics. So all the Prabdha karma, the Prabdha karma means shubh and ashubh, is Prabdha, that which we are suffering for right now in this life. The reactions which we're suffering from now are called prarabdha, ashubh and shubh. So he refutes that. But now, because the cause of their ashubh was, now the internal meaning is, the cause of their ashubh is not their karma, because they're in Bhoma Vrindavan, their Siddhadeya, and they're long transcended their karma. The cause of their inauspiciousness is they can't be with Krishna, Krishna Viraha. That's ashubh. That's inauspicious. And as a result of that, they're burning in separation, which was a type of suffering. And when you're suffering from ashubh or bad karma, when bad karma is fructifying in your life, then you suffer. You get fever. You get physical diseases, you get suffering. And you may burn, oh, I'm so, when will this agony stop? When will this disease stop? When will this suffering stop? But the cause, so the karma is not really the cause here, he says, the internal meaning. Krishna viraha, separation from Krishna, is the cause. And that's intolerable for the devotee. And people can't tolerate their ashubh karmic reactions or negative karmic reactions either. So this separation caused them to burn, and then they felt that everything's so inauspicious. Then they turned, we want to be with Krishna. So how do we do that? So they turned to meditation as an aid. The bhaktas, the pure devotees, these sadhana gopis, because they knew about meditation. They were rishis in their previous life, Dandaka Aranya sages. And they know how to meditate very well. They have been meditating for thousands and thousands of years in a previous life. So they had deep samskaras for dhyana, meditation, just like a young boy or girl may start playing some musical instrument because of the purva samskara. Confirmed. So then they can become very expert in that very quickly because of familiarity from previous life. So then they resort to meditation on whom? On their preshta, whom they were separated from, preshta viraha. And who is that preshta? Dhyanam, then it says dhyanam praptya prapta achuta. By meditation, they acquired prapti, siddhi prapti, prem prapti, Krishna prapti. They acquired, they obtained achuta. Did they obtain the name of Achyuta? Achyuta Govinda, Sridhara Madhava, Govinda Gopala Hari, Nam Bhajan. Did they dhyanam praptya, did they acquire some remembrance of his rup dhyanam or his form? It says that they acquired dhyanam prapta achuta ashlesha. Ashlesha means alingita. By meditation, they experienced the embrace of their Krishna preshta, achuta. Very powerful meditation. It was so real that they were not with Krishna, but they were with Krishna. They were separated from Krishna, but they're having union with Krishna. Certainly embracing the beloved is union. Is it not? So they're present and they're not present. So this verse was started on a negative tone of separation, then it turned to a positive tone of loving embrace. It started with separation, viraha, and ended up with sambhog. And four charpada and three pada. So now, that's an interesting result of ashubha. That's the gold at the end of the, gold at the end of the rainbow or whatever. The joy at the end of a long road of suffering. So they were suffering, they turned to meditation, and Krishna was so pleased that he manifested there, and they felt the embrace of Achyuta. And this was not some karmic thing, this was what happens in separation. The gopis and Nityasiddha gopis, when they're separated from Krishna, they also meditate and they feel union. They experience union and separation. Then when they're with Krishna sometimes, as we mentioned yesterday, they feel separation and union. It's different ways of tasting the same love. You can take ice cream and then you can eat it, vanilla ice cream. And then you can put some carob sauce on it. then you taste, now it's on vanilla ice cream, but a new twist, a new flavor. Or you can put some cherries or some other syrup or whatever on it. I don't know. I haven't had ice cream in 40 years. But like sandesh, you can make plain sandesh, or you can make you can make regular sandesh and then make another one and stack strawberry sandesh on top of that. Then you make another one with saffron and put saffron and then you make triple decker sandesh. This is what Radhanath Swami made for Radha Vrindavan Chandra for the afternoon offering in New Vrindavan in 1973 or something. And then Prabhupada was brought that Mahaprasadam. Triple decker. Regular, white, and then in the middle, strawberry, and then on top, yellow, saffron. Fresh strawberries from the farm. New Vrindavan Dham. So then Prabhupada said, he's taking, this is very nice. Who has made this? Oh, Radhanath Das Brahmachari. Where is he? Oh, he's in Bahulavan in the Brahmachari farm. Oh, very good. That's all. So the prema, then it can, the prema is sandesh, and then they put strawberry, then little flavors. So it's union or separation. Flavor is the same thing. It's not a good analogy, but at least it gets you thinking of Mahaprasadam. And hankering for that sandesh, which is not different from Krishna. And if you had it, then you know what it tastes like. So now what happened? It's very interesting, because generally when we have bad karma, then we suffer from that, and it's painful, and we don't like it, and we're hankering for the good karma, the good times to come. So now they couldn't be with Krishna, they couldn't embrace him directly. So then they turned to meditation, and Krishna was pleased with their meditation. He came there and appeared there, and he embraced them in their heart of hearts. Then that embrace, the next line says, Nivritya Shina Mangala, Ashubha and Mangala. Mangala means Shubh, auspicious, good. So it's bad karma and suffering, and good karma and joy. Usually, that's why he makes the point here in his commentary, Vishnath, about this karma for devotees. If one has karma, he has good karma and bad karma, punya karma and papa karma. He has to suffer the results of his bad deeds in previous life, his papa karma, papa phal, bad fruits he has to eat, suffering fruits. And he has to enjoy in this life the prarabdha of the good deeds he did. He'll have to get those good meals, and he'll have to get those good friends, and he'll have to get that good-looking body, and have to get all that money. That will come to him. That's his destiny by his karma fall. We had to stay here in this body until that karma is finished, enjoying and suffering the results of the karma which is delegated for this term of existence of 70, 60, 50 years. But what happened here is that when the gopis, dhyana, prapta, chuta, shlesha, when they experience the presence of Krishna in their hearts and minds in the form of an intimate embrace, which is the reciprocation with their sthayi bhav in Madhurya Lila and gopi bhav, they were in swakya bhav, they wanted Krishna as their husband. And Madhurya, these rishichari gopis who worship Katyayani. So that means embracing the husband in Madhurya, conjugal love. So then that joy, nivritya means intense joy. Nivritya, you've heard of the term in Buddhism, nirvan. You've heard of this? Buddhistic nirvan. That's a type of anand or bliss. So nivritya, shina mangala, the great intense bliss that they experienced, by embracing Krishna, by experiencing Krishna's presence in their mind and in their heart, what did it do? Shina Mangala. Shina Mangala means that it destroyed all their auspicious karmic reactions. So the good and the bad, which keeps us in this material world, keeps us attached to the bad and suffer, and keeps us attached to the good and enjoy, it was severed by Krishna's embrace through meditation. But all of that, Vishnu says, happens at the level of Bhajana Kriya. So really what it was, because it's an experience of love, and they were developing their Purva Rag, sufficient prior love before a meeting, they had to increase their Purva Rag, which means increase their Preshta Viraha, Tivra, Tapa, increase their fire in the fire in their minds and hearts, in their hankering in their minds and hearts from Krishna, and wanting so much to meet Krishna, it's intolerable if we don't meet Krishna. Then their Purva Rag is quite ripe, their prior love, and then they're eligible and have the qualification to meet with Krishna and dance with him in a future night, which may be the very next night. So then that separation, and they had a type of union by experiencing Krishna's embrace and meditation. Is he really here or is he not here? They couldn't even tell because Krishna is transcendental. That's the first basic summary of it. Because when you link these two verses together, which we'll do now, but generally what they usually say is that the verse 10 and 11 first say the experience of separation, meditation, they destroyed all their good and bad karma. Ashubha and Mangalam was all destroyed by their meditation, by the presence of Krishna, etc. And then they realize the super soul, because the next verse is Paramatmanam. And then Gunamaya Deham, this famous phrase, they realized the super soul, because now they were free from all contamination. They could become super soul realized. And then they saw Krishna in their heart, or they saw Paramatma in their heart. Then they gave up their bodies. They got liberation. That's what the external view will say. Because it says, Gunamaya Deham, that Jahur Gunamaya Deham, Sadhya Praksha, they gave up their material bodies. So they say they died. But then that's the external, that's the wrong view, according to Vishnu, to the materialists. So one cannot understand Shastra without Guru, proper Guru and proper Parampara. This Shastra is a Prem Shastra, Radha Krishna Prem Shastra. It's a Prem Sarup of Radha and Krishna, Madhurya Prem Sarup of Radha and Krishna. So how can a Mayavadi comment accurately or precisely or in a realized way on the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's not possible. They try and they do. But they will only end up with the external. They'll end up with the jar and the label, but not the honey. They come to the glass jar, it says honey, or whatever your language is, shahad. And then they read it and they say, oh, listen, this everyone, I'll give you commentary on this honey jar. I'll explain the contents of this honey jar. Inside this honey jar is honey. And it's covered with glass, and this is a paper label, and this is the printing, and it means this and that. And someone will say, oh, excuse me, have you ever tasted it? No, I don't know how to open the jar. I can't get inside. But Shukadev and the Vaishnavas, they have some access to this, because they're Shraddhanvita. Shraddhanvita, they have faith in Vishnu, Krishna. Then Krishna reveals it's Gopya. 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 Mantra is Gopya. Guru is Gopya. Secret. So the internal meaning is the Braja Gopis did not attain liberation, nor did they die. Even though Gunamaya Deham, the Gopis felt so intolerable and so frustrated, they felt like giving up their bodies because their husbands were blocking them. And the torment and anguish and unhappiness that they felt in separation from their Krishna Preshta, Viraha, that Dusaha, intolerable separation, they felt like dying. But, Vishnu says, to die at the beginning of a party is not a very auspicious idea. This is not Mangala. It says Mangala in the verse. Oh, there's a party. Oh, let me die. It's a party and I'm invited as one of the key members in the party. Oh, please come. We want you to dance in the party. You're a great dancer. We want you to sing. Okay, I'm coming to the party and I die. I think I'll die before I go to the party. What happened to so-and-so? They died. It's not very auspicious news, and that may taint the whole party with a negative view. May even call off the whole party. Oh, my best friend died. I don't feel like partying. So that would be inauspicious. Because that would displease Krishna. They're only existing to please Krishna. So they have to increase their eligibility, they have to increase their pleasurable aspect, their pleasurable offering. Their offering is good, but not good enough. The mango is ripe, but not ripe enough. It's on the tree, it's ripe, but not fully ripe. It's almost ripe. Then wait two more days. Now it's ready. Take it. Offer it to Thakurji. So the gopis, these sadhana siddha gopis, they are mangoes on the tree of love. Wait, but that sunshine which ripens the mangoes is a tivra tap. A tivra tap is that intense, that Krishna viraha tivra tap, that intense fire. Tivra means that sun is very intense. Mangoes grow in the hottest time of the year. Do you know that? May, June, July. That's why they're so yellow. That's the hottest months of the year in India. April, May, June. And this is when mangoes are ripening. Under that intense Tivra Surya Kiran, the intense rays of the sun, then they become juicy, soft, tender, shiny, and colorful. Little deep, little orangey red, and orangey yellow, and sometimes red. Attractive to look at, and attractive to touch, attractive to feel, and tasty, and satisfying, and nourishing, and fulfilling, and joy-giving. That's a mango. What to speak of a gopi? How much shiny, how much tender, how much attractive and soft to the touch, and tasty, and satisfying and fulfilling are the gopis. But they have to be just ripe, because Krishna is a connoisseur of love. A connoisseur of ras, rasuvai, saha, akila rasamrita murti. So this would be very inauspicious if the mango was just about to be ripe and it fell on the ground and a buffalo squashed it with his foot. That would be very inauspicious. You're watching that mango. Ooh, in one or two more days, I'm going to pluck that mango and offer it to Thakurji, and then take the remnants, fada-fat. But then, hey, what happened to that mango? Oh, some monkey knocked it off the tree. Oh, it's squashed on the ground. How inauspicious. So he said, this is one point. Now, the internal meaning of tivra nivritta-shina, by meditating on Krishna, the sadhana siddha Vrajagopis experienced meeting and separation, the pain of intolerable separation from their Krishna Prashta, removed any material influence and attachment to their families. They maybe had some minor attachment to their families. Then they met Krishna in meditation. They embraced him. And the next night they joined Krishna. So it's kind of like the artificial ripening process. They take some mango that's not quite ripe and they put it in some room with ethylene oxide or some gas. Then it gets some kind of fast ripe. The next day they put it on the market, but it doesn't taste really quite ripe. So Krishna came and embraced them, and then they became ripe. If Krishna embraces anyone, they'll become quite fit for his eternal service. And that's what Sakshadarshan is all about. As a sadhaka, sometimes Krishna comes at the level of bhava, and he can come before that. He's free. It's his free will. Chandrakanti in Padmapuran, she was practicing Rag Marg. Raghunuga Bhakti, it's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This pastime is cited from Padma Puran. And she was hankering to follow. She had ruchi and she had attachment. She had bhava vas. She said, well, the gopis danced all night to please Krishna. I know how to dance. No, so she just danced all night one night in Ras Purnima. And her whole meditation, she was just thinking, she was Tadatmika, Anugatya, the gopis, just thinking, I'm also a gopi, and I'm dancing better than them. And she had one murti, and she's dancing like anything. It's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we covered in our classes in Raghunuga Bhakti chapter. And she attracted the attention of Radharani. Then Radharani blessed her with gopi bhava and prema. It's an example of bhava. Actually, she attained bhava by dancing all night. She didn't have bhava. It's in a section where he said, how to get bhava by kripa. It's called sadhana siddha and kripa siddha. It's an example of kripa siddha. Direct sakshat kripa of Radharani. Radharani said, oh look, Shyam, look at this gopi, this sadhaka, this raganugiya bhakta. So much intensity, so much attachment, so much rag. Been dancing all night, not worrying about eating or drinking, and saying, look at me, don't look at those other gopis. Hey, Thakurji, look at me, I'm dancing. Aren't I dancing better than any other gopi? So this is he's saying that removed any attachment. Next night they joined. So that shows the power of meditation. That's certainly a side point you can take from the verse. Dhyanam prapta achyuta ashlesha. That's a powerful meditation to experience the beloved. The best thing the yogis can do, the intensely, fairly successful practicing yogi who's meditating, as he gets deeper into this controlling the mind on different levels, then he can begin to hear the anahata shabda, the sounds in the heart. There's different sounds vibrating in the heart that are described in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras and other places also. The sound of dundubi, kettle drums, like the rumbling of clouds, the sound of triangle, sound of bells, and sound of a flute. And then go beyond that to experience, to actually see the toenails of Vishnu, or that level, that samadhi at that level. This is early in the stages of dhyana. One can experience the anahata shabda. And the gopis, what great yogis. We said they were such great yogis. Yogis of devotion. Shraddhavan yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham. Bhakti yogis, the devotion was so intense that rather than trying to climb the ladder to realize the Paramatma came down the ladder to embrace them. The yoga ladder, ladder means you go up the nasani to get to the roof, you climb the ladder. Yama niyama asan pratyahara, like dharana, to reach the Paramatma. Samadhi. The yogi. But here, the gopis yoga, dhyanam, achyuta, then achyuta came down the ladder. And here I am. That's what's told in verse 11. So this third line here, dhyan prapta achyuta shlesha. You've heard of the last verse of Shikshastakam. Ashlesha va parvatam panashtamam. Embrace. Whether Krishna, Radharani's praying, whether Krishna crushes me with his loving embrace or he breaks my heart by not being present before me, his make me, break me, shake me, wake me, kick me, crack me, take me, leave me. You're my lover eternally. Dhyan prapti achyuta shlesha. By meditating on Krishna's separation, they realized his presence and embraced him. This is an example of union and separation. So they obtained him in an amazing way. First they heard his flute. Jago kalam. Bama manoharam. And their mind was stolen by that flute playing. So they experienced Krishna by sound through the ears. They could hear his flute and then see him in their mind's eye. And now they're out of frustration, or you can say unhappiness and separation of not being able to offer themselves to him for his divine pleasure. And they burned in the fire of separation from their service. We may burn in anxiety from separation of enjoyment. When we're frustrated, we become angry. When our sense enjoyment is denied, or frustrated, we become angry, and anger produces fire and heat in the brain. Because we're separated from the object of our enjoyment, the person, the object. We become angry and hot-headed in frustration. The gopis are tivratap, tivratap. They're feeling a fire of separation. they're burning in separation from their seva to Krishna. Very interesting. They're burning in a fire of separation, not out of frustration of obtaining the object of their enjoyment, but they're burning because they can't offer themselves for the enjoyment and pleasure of Krishna, no ras. Ras means more flavors, more ras. How much ras is there in a meal of plain rice? Someone gives you a plate of chawal or bhat. Here's your lunch, prasad, acha. Anything else? No curry sauce or chutney or dal? No, rice. Enjoy. Okay, enjoy. something ras, rice ras. Chawal ras. But then some curry sauce and some this, that, sabji. So then the ras, more elements, more ras. Vibhav, anubhav, satvikbhav, stahibhav, vyabhachari, sanjarivhav. More elements, more flavors, then more ras. Ras upajai. Ras. So every gopi is a ras, a vessel of ras, a rasaniti, a treasury of ras. So Krishna wants all gopis. He's very greedy for ras. He's rasa loba. You've heard of Dadi Loba? I think it's Krishna has, or Radharani, maybe Radharani has Krishna. Krishna has one pet monkey. Now just imagine. Pet dog is okay, but pet monkey? Radha and Krishna, Vrindadevi, the birds come in, the deer come in, the peacocks come into the kunja and try to distract Radha and Krishna from their loving pastimes of intimacy and dalliance. And they somewhat attract and satisfy, but then, oh, that's nice, okay, back. And then the Devi's getting exasperated that they, no matter what we do, the sun is soon approaching, the sky is already red, seniors are walking on the footpath, the cows are mooing, calling for Krishna, Mother Yashoda's bathing, she's going to be in his room in any minute. He has to leave from here and return before his mother finds out he's been out all night with the gopis. So Vrindadevi is besides herself. Nothing is working. The chirping of the birds. She calls in a rooster, a male chicken. And then makes big noise. Oh! Radha and Krishna become completely startled. Hari? Hey! Radharani says, what's this? Why don't you go coo in hell? Just go to hell. Crow in hell, not coo. Crow. And whatever they do, you know, rooster, you know, on the farm, male chicken. Some noise they make, a very terrible noise, like a aristosaur or something. So then he becomes choop, becomes quiet. And Radharani says, ah, good, he went to hell. Then she embraces Krishna, they snuggles up against Krishna, they go back to sleep. And then Vrindadevi says, ah, Ray, nothing's working. Hey, Kakadi's somewhere in the fruit orchard eating bananas. So Vrindadevi goes, hey, Kakadi, get out, stop eating, you old monkey. Because old people just eat ice cream and bananas. Because they don't have any teeth, they can't chew. You just mush up some bananas and eat ice cream and watch television. So she called Kakadi. Kakadi came and said, listen, Kakadi, do your thing, you know. Scare them. And there's only one thing that scares a married woman. There's only one thing that scares a married, scares and frightens, scares means frightens a married woman. And what is that? The mother-in-law. That is the only entity in this world. Not husband. Wives are not afraid of husband. Kakati comes, the old monkey. Ugh, old monkey. You see monkeys here, old monkeys in Radhika, and they're all shriveled up and like this. Still moving with the pack, because they're social animals, so they move with the pack ever so slowly and climb up the wall, fall down, and finally they lie by the side of Radhakund. They get rejected by the pack. They move by the pack, old and young, 40, 50, everywhere, even the old. They're like a family, joint family, the original joint family. So the old one finally can't jump up to the roof and gives up and lies on the bank of Radhakund. We've seen so many times. And then the Vrijvasis feed her, him. and they get shriveled up, then one day at night they die. Then the bungies take them away, and whatever they do, I don't know, bury them or something. So she comes in the kunja. Chatila is coming! Huh? Radharani jumps 10 feet in the air, like Jagannath Das Babaji. Jumped out of his basket. Started, that was like a powerful kirtan. Radharani jumped, and Krishna, what happened? Chatila, lickety split, they were gone. They left so fast that they wore each other's clothes. Krishna ran out with Radharani's clothes on. And Radharani ran out with Shyam's clothes. Radharani was wearing yellow and Krishna was wearing blue. Blue on blue and yellow on yellow. This is Nishant Leela. Achyuta. So they experienced Krishna through the power of meditation. How powerful is meditation? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Krishna Smaranam Radha Krishna Smaranam. For Vaidhi Sadhak, for Vishnu Bhakta, Vishnu Smaranam. For Vaidhi Bhakta, Krishna Smaranam. For Raghunuga Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakta, Radha Krishna Smaranam. Radha Krishna Yugo. You see pictures like this of Krishna standing playing flute. Alone under the moonshine. This is for Vaidhi Smaranam, meditation. Vaidhi Sadhana. But then you see pictures of Radha and Krishna standing there embraced. But anyone just likes a picture of Krishna under the moon playing the flute, this is not Ragmarg. It's nice. But Ragmarg is always Radha and Krishna together. How can Krishna be without Radha? And how can Radha be without Krishna? That's not, we are Rupa Anuga Vaishnavas. We are following Rupa Goswami, Rupa Anuga. Raganuga, you can practice Raganuga and go to Vaikuntha. Raganuga is there, it's described. But Raganuga means Anugata. Raganuga means under following Lakshmi Devi and go to Vaikuntha. That's Raganuga. But Rupanuga means following Gopi Bhav. Of Rupa Manjari, following this line, the Braj Bhakti of the gopis, going to Vrindavan, Radha Govinda. This you won't understand all this very clearly, I'm sure. So Navritta Shina Mangala. So now we're discussing the name Achyuta, because like Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, or Sanjay is narrating the story to Dhritarashtra, because there also in the Bhagavad Gita you have monologue to some extent, where Arjuna is kind of dumbfounded and speaking when he sees a universal form. It's kind of like, oh, it's not really dialogue. He's just saying, oh, Krishna, he's speaking. Krishna's there, speaking alone. Please show. I'm frightened. Please show. There's not dialogue, means back and forth. So that's monologue. Then there's dialogue where Arjuna is asking questions. Then there's discourse where Krishna is answering. Then there's narrative, where Sanjay is telling the story to Dhritarashtra. He's narrating, describing the scenes, Ubiyor Madhye, and all these things. He said, Arjuna said, bring my chariot to the middle of the army. Senior Ubiyor Madhye. Let me see who is assembled here on this battlefield of Kurukshetra with intention of fighting. And Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna, his sarathi, to drive the chariot. Let's see who my opponents are. So that's all there. So then the narrative of Sanjay, or in the discussion, he says Rishikesh, he says Madhav, so many names. Same thing Sukadeva Goswami, when he's describing Krishna's Leela, he uses sometimes the name Krishna or Govinda, etc. So in this Ras Leela discussion, he describes Krishna as Achyuta. Achyuta Keshava Sri Lara Madhava Govinda Gopala Hari. Jai Govinda, Jai Gopal, Keshava Madhava Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal. 9 times in Ras Leela, Achyuta, the name Achyuta is used more than any other name in the Rasa Lila. It's a love story. And true to any love story, this verse 29:10, like a love story, you sometimes meet the beloved, and sometimes you don't. Because in this case, the love story is about lovers that aren't married. They're not married. Krishna's not married to any of these gopis. Some of the gopis they're all married, basically. And not to Krishna. So this is an illicit love story. Paramore love, parakiya bhav. But who are these lovers? They're only Krishna's expansions. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavi tabi, tabir ya eva nijarupatiya kalabi, goloka eva neva satya kilat bhuto. Govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami, goloka nivasis. Goloka nivasi sham, goloka nivasi ratha, goloka nivasi chandravali. They're goloka nivasis, goloka nivasatya kilatma bhuto. They're gokul vasis, goloka vasis. They're his. Are we part and parcel of Krishna? That's what the Bhagavad Gita says. It says like that, I don't realize it. Are the gopis part and parcel of Krishna? Yes. The gopis are part and parcel of Krishna's Sarup Shakti. We're part and parcel of Krishna's Tatastha Shakti. Purusha. Krishna's Purusha avatar, is Vishnu. But Vishnu is within Krishna. So we're part and parcel of Krishna in the aspect of Vishnu. And we can become part and parcel of Krishna. When we leave Vishnu, out here and move inside Krishna's heart, then we become part and parcel of Krishna in Siddhadeha. Because then we get intimate, we get the proper love. When we don't have the proper love, then we're in Shristi Lila, part and parcel of Vishnu. Mamevam shojiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Never was there a time when I did not exist as a part and parcel of Krishna, nor you nor all these kings. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to exist as a part and parcel of Krishna. Natvevaham jatu nasham natvam name dunaripa. This is Bhagavad Gita. My Rasalila is only Bhagavad Gita. It's the only book I ever studied to some extent. And it's also the line of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He knew Bhagavad Gita. If you listen to his lectures, he really knew Bhagavad Gita inside and out. I mean, he knew everything. Sri Radhe Shyam. So let's look at this word achyuta. What does achyuta mean? And why is it used 9 times in the Rasa Lila? Because there's so many. Why don't we have Madhusudan and Rasavihari and all kinds of wonderfully prema-filled names? Why achyuta? What does achyuta mean? And what is how does the meaning of achyuta apply to a love story? Because in this 29:10, the lovers are separated, and the gopis are unhappy in separation. They're crying. They're very unhappy. They say, what to do? We just can't sit here and cry and be unhappy. We can't offer ourselves to Krishna. We have to do something. We can't be there with our transcendental divine forms, but we can at least think about it. It's like us. Well, we're not eligible to be in Krishna's Leela. And this form we have, this sharir, stool sharir, lingashir, at least we can think about the Leelas. At least we can think about Krishna. That's what smaranam is all about, meditation is all about. And by the thinking, if it's tivra, if it's intense, Tivra Bhakti Smaranam, Tivra Bhakti Dhyanam, then Krishna will come. Oh, I was meditating, I was chanting, I felt like I saw Krishna, I felt something. In your mind's eye, it's not a spurti, don't get misled. You're not floating in the waves of bhav. But some vision, some sensation. You dream and see sometimes something. It's not that you're a bhava bhakta. Pujaris, it's a natural thing. Pujaris are always worshipping deity of Jagannath. Then they dream, they see the deity in the dream. If you're always painting pictures of Krishna, you'll see this blue boy in your dream. And as the acharyas say, in every act of the Rasalila drama, in every single chapter, you'll see the word achyuta. It's used more than Krishna. Achyuta means what? Infallible one, unshakable one who has not fallen. So what's the essential message of the word achyuta? What does it really mean? What is the inner meaning of Why is Shukadev Goswami sprinkle this word achyuta? Why not Rasbihari or Gopika Kanta or Radha Kanta or so many other phrases? Because he wants, in his own way, he wants to keep reminding everybody. He often talks about Paramatma. Throughout the five chapters, he talks about Paramatma. He mentions this word, that Krishna's Paramatma, that Krishna is the super soul. He's not some romantic boy of some village. He's just some village boy, some fictitious aspect of Krishna's lila. But actually, the real Krishna is a Dwarkadish Krishna. The Kurukshetra Krishna is the real Krishna. And the Kshatriya Krishna, driving the chariot and ruling Dwarka and Mathura, this Mathuranath and this. But this Bihari, this Brajavihari Krishna, this is some fictitious thing that North Indians made up. That's what the Madhvas say. They don't accept this. What is this? This is some folk story of villagers from UP. Because they're all a bunch of coward boys, so they just made one hero. Everyone wants a hero, so they make the superhero. It's a very common. Every culture there's some hero. Gulliver's Travels and all these. Every single culture has heroes throughout history. It's because it's the nature of the finite living entity to worship someone of infinite power. It is the nature. Because we are finite. It's our nature to worship. Because we are part and parcel of something supreme. Anu in vibhu. We are anu chit. Atomic particle of consciousness. Anu chit. But then there's vibhu chit. Vibhu chaitanya, the supreme unlimited living force. So the nature of the small is to worship the large. We worship beauty. We worship power. We worship knowledge. We worship detachment. It's unnatural. People, when the king or the queen go on procession in England, everyone comes out to see them and to clap and just to stand up. And the Gajapati Raj gets on his palanquin from his house on the Grand Road in Puri. And he goes on his palanquin, and there's a white umbrella before him to signify the symbol of the king, a large white silk umbrella, the long pole carried by his servants. And everyone stands up, ah, Gajapati Maharaj ki, jai, Gajapati Maharaj ki, Divya Dev Singh ki. And they all glorify, they're so happy. Jagannath's there on the cart. Balaram, God, Balaram, Subhadra, Jagannath, they're all on the carts. Waiting to go, and they're waiting for the king, and everyone's glorifying the king, standing up, and they're so happy, their faces, to see the king. So much respect. I've seen with my own eyes. I've been there 10 times. Rath Yatra. Maybe more. So this is the nature, to stand up. So achyuta means, why is it used? Because in the sense that although Krishna's sporting with the gopis appears to be erotic pastime, because it's called Shringar Lila, Shringar Ras, it appears erotic. The Srimad Bhagavatam is describing that Krishna's dancing with them, he's embracing them, he's kissing them, he's scratching them, he's touching their thighs, touching their breasts. These are all the elements and exchanges and activities of an erotic love affair. But there's nowhere described where Krishna ever falls into any sexual union or any sexual activities with the gopis. They're just some intimacies and dance and they rest and then Brahma Muhurta comes. Oh, Krishna says, gopis, it's time to meditate. This is Naralila. We're human beings. We have to get up at 4 a.m. and meditate in the auspicious spiritual time. We have to worship our Thakurji. My father, I have to go to the mandir and chant my mantras. I have to go to the Lakshmi Narayan Mandir. My father is a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan. It's the auspicious time. Must come, jolly, jolly, go, go, go. And they're just lying, okay, and they run. So that's why although Krishna sports, they appear like that. He has no intimate relations with them. He's dancing. He's simply relishing. What does Vishnu says? He says, Krishna is simply relishing the delight of the ras within himself. Rasuvai saha. He's relishing the delight of the ras within himself, which he has expanded in the form. These are rasa sarups. Radharani is a rasa sarup of Krishna. He's Rasaraj. He's the king of Ras. Rasanidhi. And he's relishing, Krishna's dancing it with the, in the Ras Leela. It's not eroticism, although the Indian artists like to depict it like that, and they like to describe it like that. There's some X-rated story from medieval India or ancient India. The erotic love life. This is the general image. Very tainted, contaminated, exploitive, wrong, appealing to the lower tamasic sense aspirations of the Kali Yugas, offensive literature. And he was simply delighting in the rust within himself and the hearts of the damsels. So chuta means he never falls. Chut means to fall. Achut means doesn't fall. So there's nowhere described where he fell down, but some young man, dashing young 16-year-old, 18-year-old man is dancing with a group of girls in the moonlight and swimming in the Yamuna and embracing them, then he'll be lost under the moonshine. He won't be a chut. He'll be chut, 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 chut. And then another beautiful meaning of a chuta, he never fails, because a chuta means infallible. When you read the BBT books, generally they translate a chuta means infallible. How do they say here? A chuta, the infallible Lord Krishna, in the BBT word for word translation. A chuta, the infallible, doesn't fail. In other words, he's an acer in school. He's a topper. Every time he takes an exam, he's tops. He never fails his exams. But in this case, a beautiful definition which applies to the rasa dance, Krishna, Shamsundar, Priyatam, he never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. Wherever a devotee is trying to love him, and he says, Yayatamam Prapadyante, wherever you're. The gopis were home, restricted. He's in Vamshivat Yamunapalin, calling them to him. You go to the job, you go to the boss doesn't come to you. You go to the workplace and work, he doesn't come to your house to establish the work. The Krishna's inviting him, come, this is the stali. Oh, he can't come. All right, I'll come to you. Dhyanam prapti achuta ashlesha. By dhyanam, they meditate. Oh, you, and Krishna knows their hearts. I know their hearts. I know how much they're intensely wanting to be here and serve me and offer themselves to me for my divine pleasure in this rasa dance. And they've been meditating and desiring this for thousands and thousands of years. And they can't come. Oh, I'm a chuta. I never fail to reciprocate with the love of my devotees. I'll go there. I'll manifest in their hearts, because I'm already there. I can be Paramatma, I can be Krishna, I can be Prakash Avatar, I can be Archamurti, I can manifest in five different ways according to my sweet will, my Icha Shakti. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that there's five manifestations of Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan and Prakash Avatar, and then there's the Chaturvyuha, there's the Archamurti, there's the Paramatma. One can get on the other can get on the other. Paramatma becomes Sita and Ram, Paramatma becomes Shamsundar. The Archamurti becomes Paramatma, the Archamurti begins like this, they can go like that. People can see Archamurti's dancing. There's so many stories of deities dancing, deities leaving the altar, dancing in Kirtan and running back to the altar, deities coming down and eating, just like Swayam Bhagavan Gopal. Raghunandan, a young boy, Brahmin boy, he Krishna's love and his intensity was so great that Krishna came down to eat. He got off the altar. The Archamurti became Swayam Bhagavan and moved down, sat down, started eating in front of him. So the Archamurti can become Swayam Bhagavan. So that's what's told, what we see in the next verse. So he never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. devotees, Achyuta Kesho, Sridhara Madhava. The fire of separation from Krishna, the Brajagopis turned to meditation. Then Krishna manifested personally before them. And by the power of Krishna's darshan, the Brajagopis developed the right mood and identity. So whatever was ashubh was not their karma, they had none, was their mood, their bhav, their gopi bhav or their purva rag, and their identity. Because now their identity was a little mixed with some dharma, some family, some responsibilities that they had adopted by birth in the village and by marriage to that gwal. So their identity was not quite adjusted perfectly. So when they attained the embrace of Krishna, Vishwanath says that that embrace, by the power of Krishna's darshan, they developed the right mood and identity. And this is often described that if someone is at the level of bhav as a sadhaka, it's in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and other places, the level of bhav, Krishna, by his free will, he may decide to give darshan to that devotee. He can give sakshat darshan. And he'll do that for the purpose of intensifying his bhav and then bringing that bhav quickly. He'll become so, oh, I saw Krishna. Remember Narada Muni? First canto Bhagavatam, chapter 6. That's beautiful. Sadaka attains darshan once of Vishnu. Then he became so much thirsty. Oh, I saw him. And Vishnu said, you'll see me once, but you'll not see me again. So drink deeply my beauty, my prabhav, my love, my encouragement. Because my Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Vasudeva, Vasudeva, Kahan, Kahan. And then the rest of his life, he's a young boy. He's only how old? 5, 7, young boy. Then searching. Oh, everywhere, mining towns, villages, going everywhere, all throughout the whole expanse of the Vibhuti of Vasudeva Vishnu. Where is my Lord? Hankering. So that he became so intense, he lost all, no interest in anything. And then his identity became so complete and full, then he became Narada Muni Bhajan Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Gave up that form and became Narada Muni. Straight on. Vaikuntha Prapti. Sarup is Sarup Prapti. Narada Muni Bhajan Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni. This is nice. So then, by the power of Krishna's darshan, these sadhana siddha gopis develop the right mood and identity. So, ashubha means anything that was the wrong identity, upadis, sarvapadi, vinir muktam, became removed and erased. Then mangala shina, then everything increased, all the good things, all the bhavas increased. And any lacking of bhav was removed, Shina, and everything then became Mangala, auspicious in Krishna's presence. So what is the result of Krishna's darshan? The Brajagopis experience infinite bliss. It says, Dhyanam Prapti Achyuta Ashlesha. Prapti, they acquired by meditation the darshan of Achyuta, who never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. And then that embrace of the Lord was nivritya, so blissful and so pleasurable. Param jistva nivartate. Krishna says that rasu varjam rasopyasya param jistva nivartate. That rasu varjam, that ras, that love in their hearts, Varjan became so strong and so powerful that Param Dristva was that Dristi, that Darshan, that Ashlesh, that embrace of the Lord was so powerful. nivartate, that they gave up everything. So nivritya means that they experienced such infinite bliss, nirvana, nivritya. Nivritya shina mangala. Shina mangala means destroyed. All their auspicious karmas. So then what happens is the gopis experienced infinite bliss, nivritya, which Sridhar Swami, he says this word nivritya means param sukha bhog. Param sukha bhog means supreme spiritual joy and happiness. By embracing the astonishing transcendental body of Achyuta Sri Krishna, who was full of love for those gopis, and by the bliss they experienced in Krishna's embrace, the gopis gave up the different states of mind and mentality. This Shina Mangala, I mean, the Yashiva, they gave up everything and it destroyed. Because when you're, this is what Vishnu says, that this happens at Bhajana Kriya, that when you're doing bhajan, then all the good results that you have to enjoy get removed, anartha nivritti. But here, the Shina Mangala means it destroyed any lack of bhav. I mean, enhanced their bhavas rather. It destroyed anything that wasn't spiritual and manifest everything that was spiritual. And it states, so the analogy is given like Lord Brahma had a wrong mentality to desire to enjoy his daughter. So then by the power of his intelligence, he controlled his mind with his intelligence. Higher than the senses or the mind, higher than the mind is the intelligence, and higher the intelligence is the Atma. So when the Atma is connected with the Paramatma by bhakti, then you get superior intelligence from Krishna. Tesham sadatayutanam bhajatam pritipurivagam dadami buddhi yogam tam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Dadami buddhi. Superior intelligence means God-given intelligence. God-given vivek. Bhagavan vivek. Bhagavan discrimination. Vivek means discrimination. The power of discrimination, the power of making the right choices, the power of discrimination given by God as a result of bhakti. Tesham sadatayuktanam bhajatam pritipuravakam. So higher than the senses is the material mind, higher than the material mind is the intelligence, but higher the intelligence is the Atma. And when the Atma is joined with Krishna by bhakti, they get the superior intelligence. So with that intelligence, you can throw out everything that's non-Krishna. So the superior intelligence of Brahma, because he's so close to God, he's born from his navel, Atmabhu, Swayambhu. Then when this mentality came to enjoy being Maya, he that out, jow, no! Say no to Maya. No to the mental dreams that pop up. So he rejected it. And through that mentality, so that Gunamaya Deya died. That's in verse 11. Gunamaya Deha, that was a body of guna. It was made of thoughts, of tamasic thoughts. Gunamaya Deham. So it died. But he didn't die. So the gopis also will see in the next verse, that part of them died, but they didn't die. That lack of bhav or that some family attachment. And we'll discuss that verse 11 tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.